Imagine buying a multi-million dollar four-unit brownstone in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. That's a big swing right out of the gate.
Right. But imagine you move into the ground floor and you collect this premium New York rent from the three tenants living right above you, and you secure this entire building while putting absolutely $0 down.
I mean, it sounds exactly like one of those late night real estate infomercial
Exactly. It sounds totally fake, but it is
scams,
actually one of the most underutilized, federally backed wealth building tools currently operating in the New York housing market.
Yeah, and it is entirely legal. It's heavily regulated. And, for the people who actually qualify for it, it completely rewrites the traditional rules of real estate investing and home ownership.
Welcome to the deep dive. I am incredibly excited for this one, and a special welcome to you, the learner.
Yes, welcome back.
We know you're always looking for that underlying mechanism, the why behind the complex systems around us. So today we are tearing into a really comprehensive March 2026 guide from Jet Direct Mortgage.
Right. And this guide specifically details the highly nuanced New York VA loan requirements.
Yeah, and our mission today is to look way beyond the surface level idea of a quote unquote military perk. We want to completely demystify the actual mechanics of VA loans.
Specifically within the notoriously complex, high value New York real estate market, because it's a beast.
Oh, it really is. So we're going to give you a clear, actionable mental model of how these loans actually work, why they're so incredibly powerful, and the unique hurdles they present to unwary buyers.
Because the reality is, in a market like New York, whether we're talking about like Long Island, Brooklyn, or Westchester, the baseline rules of real estate are already intense.
Yeah, totally unforgiving.
Exactly. So when you introduce a specialized federal program into that specific environment, it requires just a completely different level of precision.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we even get back to that Brooklyn brownstone scenario, we need to establish the foundational rules of the game here.
Right. Who gets to play?
Right, who is actually allowed to use this tool, and what are the basic barriers to entry? I like to use a velvet rope analogy for this one.
Okay, let's hear it.
Getting a VA loan is kind of like trying to get into an incredibly exclusive, highly regulated club. You can't just walk right in.
No, you definitely
You
cannot.
have to pass the bouncer. And the bouncer is checking three very specific things simultaneously.
Right, and those are what the Jet Direct Guide refers to as the three pillars of qualification.
Okay, lay them out for us.
So you need military service eligibility, financial and credit qualification, and property eligibility. And here's the kicker. If even one of those pillars falls short, the entire deal just collapses.
Wow. Okay, let's start with that first pillar then, the ID check at the velvet rope, the service eligibility, because I think there's this massive misconception that the Department of Veterans Affairs just acts like a giant centralized bank vault in Washington, D.C.
Like they're just handing out cash to anyone in uniform.
Exactly. Like you just show up in uniform and they hand you a mortgage.
Yeah, that is probably the single most common misunderstanding about this whole program. The VA actually does not issue the loan at all.
Wait, really?
Yeah, and they do not act as the bank. Instead, the VA guarantees a portion of the loan that is actually made by an approved private lender.
Okay, let me stop you there for a second. If the VA is just guaranteeing the loan, kind of acting like an insurance policy,
Right.
why does the private lender care about my credit score at all later down the line? I mean, if I default, doesn't the government just pay the bank back?
Well, not entirely. That's the catch. The VA typically only guarantees about 25% of the loan amount.
Oh, I see. Only 25%.
Right. So they provide this massive safety net, but the private lender is still holding the bag for the remaining 75% if things go sideways.
Got it. So the bank still has skin in the game.
Absolutely. But by guaranteeing that top quarter, the VA significantly reduces the lender's overall risk. And that is what allows the lender to offer those famous zero down, flexible qualification standards.
But the lender is absolutely still involved and still actively assessing risk.
Exactly. They're still doing the heavy lifting on the underwriting.
Which brings us back to the ID check. How do you actually prove to the lender and to the VA that you've earned this guarantee?
Well, the guide breaks this down and it's highly specific based on when and how you actually served.
Okay, what are the basic thresholds?
So if you're active duty, you generally qualify after 90 consecutive days during wartime or 181 consecutive days during peacetime.
Okay, pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But what about folks who aren't traditional active duty?
What's fascinating here is how this system handles the modern military structure. Because it's not just for active duty anymore.
Right.
National Guard and Reserve members also have a very clear path. They typically qualify after 6 creditable years of service or 90 days of qualifying active duty service under federal orders.
Oh, wow. So it really does cover a broad spectrum of service.
Yeah, it does. And it even extends to certain unremarried surviving spouses of service members who died in service or from service-connected disabilities.
And the physical proof of all this, like the actual VIP pass you hand to the bouncer, right, is something called the COE, right? The Certificate of Eligibility.
Precisely, the COE. And it's really a highly systematized way of quantifying vastly different types of sacrifice.
Right, because a 6-year reserve commitment is very different from a combat deployment.
Exactly. It condenses everything from a wartime deployment in a combat zone to a steady reserve commitment at home into one unified, tangible verification document.
Okay, so you have your COE, you pass the ID check.
You're in the door.
You're in. The next pillar is what I'd call the cover charge, the financial and credit qualification. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, this is where the VA program really flexes its muscles.
Because how the VA decides if you can actually afford the house is where this program wildly diverges from your traditional everyday mortgage.
It really does.
Let's look at the alternatives for just a second. If I am a standard buyer in New York and I don't have 20% to put down, I'm usually looking at, what, an FHA loan or a conventional loan?
Yeah, those are the standard routes for sure.
Yeah.
And both of those carry significant ongoing financial penalties for not having that large down payment.
Right. They penalize you for not having the cash up front.
Exactly. So if you utilize an FHA loan, which is super popular for lower down payments of like 3.5%, you are hit with an upfront mortgage insurance premium.
Ouch.
And plus a monthly premium. And in a lot of cases today, that FHA monthly premium lasts for the entire life of the loan. Mm. It literally never falls off.
It's just a permanent tax on your monthly cash flow.
Effectively, yes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. And then conventional loans, on the other hand, require private mortgage insurance, or PMI.
Right, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and you pay that monthly fee until you eventually kind of grind your way down to 20% equity in the home.
Which, I mean, let's be real. In a market like Westchester or Long Island, where property taxes are already astronomical.
Oh, they're huge.
Adding another like $300 or $400 a month just to ensure the bank's risk is absolutely brutal.
It prices a lot of people out of the market entirely.
So how does the VA handle this? Do they have their own version of PMI?
No. With a VA loan, there is absolutely zero monthly mortgage insurance required. None.
Wait, none?
Zero.
That alone completely changes a buyer's purchasing power. I mean, that's hundreds of dollars a month back in your pocket.
It totally does.
Yeah.
Instead of a monthly drain, the VA utilizes a one-time funding fee, which can often be rolled directly into the loan amount itself.
Oh, so you don't even necessarily have to pay it out of pocket at closing.
Right. And that fee goes directly to the VA to sustain the program for future generations.
Yeah.
And actually, veterans who are receiving compensation for a service-connected disability are typically exempt from this fee entirely.
Okay. I am looking at this data, right? And I'm trying to square it with standard banking logic.
Yeah. It breaks a few rules.
Zero down payment and zero monthly mortgage insurance. On paper, to a traditional underwriter, that sounds like an incredibly risky loan profile.
It sounds like a subprime disaster waiting to happen.
Right. Yet VA loans historically have some of the lowest default rates in the entire mortgage industry.
Mm-hmm.
How is that practically possible?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the answer really lies in a brilliant underwriting concept that is entirely unique to the VA. It's called residual income.
I love this concept. Let me try an analogy for this one.
Go for it.
When a standard bank evaluates your file, they use a debt-to-income ratio, or DTI, right?
Yes, DTI is the industry standard.
To me, DTI is like checking a car's top speed. Hmm. It looks at your gross monthly income versus your gross monthly debts. It basically tells the bank what your financial engine is theoretically capable of on a spreadsheet.
Right, but it is a very blunt instrument. It doesn't really account for real life.
Exactly. But the VA's residual income metric is completely different. It's like checking if you actually have enough gas in the tank to get home every day.
That's a great way to put it.
It evaluates the actual hard cash left over every single month after you pay your housing costs, your recurring debts, your taxes, and like your estimated utility bills.
Let's run the math on that to show just how powerful it actually is.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, imagine a veteran buying a home in Nassau County, Long Island. They have a family of 4. Their gross household income is, let's say, $10,000 a month.
Okay, 10 grand gross.
Right. But between the new mortgage, high New York property taxes, maybe a couple of car loans, and student debt, their total monthly debt obligations hit $6,000.
Okay, under a traditional DTI model, that is a 60% debt-to-income ratio.
Yeah.
A conventional lender is going to reject that file immediately. The engine is redlining. It's mathematically unsafe to them.
Exactly. Conventional algorithms just say no. But the VA looks at that exact same file and says, well, let's look at the actual cash. After all those debts are paid, this family still has $4,000 in liquid cash remaining every single month.
$4,000 cash. Okay.
And the VA maintains geographically specific benchmarks for residual income. So New York falls into the Northeast region, which actually carries the highest benchmarks because, you know, the cost of groceries, gas, daily life, it's all higher.
Oh, absolutely. Everything is more expensive here.
Right. So for a family of four in the Northeast, the VA might require roughly $1,000 to $1,200 in residual income.
Wait, so because they have $4,000 left over?
They crush the benchmark.
Wow. They pass the financial pillar effortlessly, even though a conventional bank would have shown them the door on day one.
It really highlights a crucial difference in institutional intent. You see, a traditional lender wants to know if the math technically works so they can quickly sell the loan on the secondary market.
Right. It's about checking boxes for investors.
Exactly. But the VA wants to know if you can actually pay the mortgage and still afford to feed a family of four in Long Island.
Right.
Without, you know, resorting to high interest credit cards just to buy groceries.
It's actual reality versus spreadsheet reality.
Yes. It is a built-in safeguard to ensure veterans do not become house poor.
That is just such a fundamental shift in perspective. So, okay, you have your VIP pass, the COE.
Mm-hmm.
You've passed the financial cover charge by proving your residual income and navigating the lender's credit overlays.
Right.
Now we arrive at the third pillar, the dress code, the property itself.
Yes, the final hurdle.
Because having the money doesn't mean you can just buy anything you want.
Particularly in New York. The property itself has to pass a really rigorous test called minimum property requirements, or MPRs.
Wait, I'm a little confused here. If I am getting a standard conventional mortgage, the bank sends an appraiser out anyway, right?
They do, yes.
And that appraiser makes sure the house is actually worth the $500,000 the bank is lending me. So why does the VA need a totally separate set of property requirements? Aren't they just like doubling up the work?
Well, it's not doubling the work. It is changing the entire scope of the evaluation.
How so?
A conventional appraiser is primarily concerned with market value. They are protecting the bank's collateral, period.
Right. If the bank forecloses, can they sell it to get their money back?
Exactly. But a VA appraiser, while they do evaluate market value, they are equally focused on livability, safety, and structural soundness. They are protecting the veteran.
Okay, so they're actively checking functional utilities, making sure the roof isn't caving in.
Yes, ensuring the foundation is solid, checking for safe property access, things like that.
So if a house has, like, exposed wiring, a broken furnace, and peeling lead paint, a conventional buyer might say, great, a fixer-upper, I'll take a massive discount.
Right. Investors love those.
Yeah.
But the VA will categorically say, absolutely not.
Really? Just a flat no.
Flat no. The VA will not guarantee a loan on a property that is functionally hazardous. So the seller either has to fix those issues prior to closing or the deal just dies.
Wow.
Furthermore, the property must be for a primary residence.
Oh, okay.
You cannot use a VA loan to buy like a summer beach house in the Hamptons or a pure investment property upstate that you never intend to step foot in.
Which brings us to a massive hurdle specific to our listeners who are looking in the five boroughs or the immediate suburbs. The New York co-op trap.
Yes, this is a huge localized issue.
New York City obviously has a massive concentration of cooperative apartments.
Right.
But according to the data in the guide, co-ops are almost universally a complete no-go for VA loans.
Mostly, yes.
Why is that distinction so sharp?
Well, this raises a really important question about the legal structure of real estate.
Okay.
When you buy a standard single-family home or a regular condominium, you are buying actual real property. You own the physical space, the drywall, the air rights, or at least, you know, a legally defined slice of real estate.
Right. You own a piece of the earth, basically.
Exactly. But when you buy into a New York co-op, you're not actually buying real estate at all.
You are buying shares in a corporation.
Exactly right. You are purchasing stock in a corporation that happens to own the entire building. And those shares grant you a proprietary lease to live in a specific unit.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Right, because the VA loan program is strictly governed by federal law that's designed to finance real property.
The shares don't count.
Right. The corporate ownership structure of a typical co-op is just fundamentally incompatible with standard VA property eligibility requirements.
Man. So if you are a veteran looking in Manhattan, Queens, or Brooklyn, you can't just browse Zillow and fall in love with any apartment.
Definitely not.
You essentially have to filter out basically the entire co-op market from your search.
Which is a huge chunk of the inventory, unfortunately.
What about condos, then?
Condos are eligible, but there is a catch there, too.
Yeah.
The entire condominium complex must be on a specific VA-approved list.
Of course there's a list.
Always a list. The VA actually reviews the condo association's bylaws, their financial health, their litigation history, basically to ensure it's a safe long-term investment for the veteran.
And if it's not on the list?
If the complex isn't on the list, the lender has to submit it for VA approval before you can even buy, which takes time.
It narrows the field significantly in a dense urban market like ours.
It does.
But, you know, this brings us full circle to the hook at the top of the show, the multifamily twist.
Yes. The Brooklyn brownstone.
Because while co-ops are out, small multifamily buildings are very much in play, right?
Yes, they absolutely are. The VA guidelines allow a veteran to purchase a property with up to 4 residential units using that exact same zero down payment benefit.
Okay, so back to the 4-unit Brooklyn brownstone. I can buy it, put zero down, and rent out 3 units to pay the mortgage. What is the catch here? There has to be one.
Well, the catch is twofold. First, you must legally occupy one of those units as your primary residence.
Right. No pure investment properties.
Exactly. You cannot rent out all 4. And second, remember those minimum property requirements we just discussed?
The safety standards?
Yes. Those safety and structural standards apply to the entire building, not just your specific unit.
Ah, okay. So if my ground floor unit is perfectly renovated and beautiful, but the 3rd floor rental has no heat and a severe mold problem,
the VA is not going to approve the loan.
Got it. The whole ship has to float.
Correct. The entire structure must be sound. But, you know, if you can find a solid multifamily property, you can actually use the projected rental income from the other 3 units to help you qualify for the loan financially in the first place.
Wait, really? You can use the future rent to qualify?
Yes. It is an extraordinary way to build a real estate portfolio and generate passive income right out of the gate.
High standards, but massive rewards if you can thread the needle.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've covered the who, the how, and the where. Let's look at the timeline of actually executing this in the real world and clear up a major misconception about the lifespan of this benefit.
Good idea.
In a complex, fast-moving market like New York, how long does this whole process actually take? Sellers here don't like to wait around.
No, they don't. The timeline typically ranges from 30 to 45 days. However, that hinges really heavily on appraisal scheduling and underwriting efficiency.
And I imagine, given the strictness of those MPRs, the condo approval lists, and just the higher property values in general, you don't just want a massive faceless online call center handling this.
Oh, absolutely not. That is a recipe for a delayed or straight up canceled closing.
Yeah.
The guide explicitly highlights the importance of working with a local lender experienced specifically in New York VA transactions. They use Jet Direct Mortgage, who are based out in Bohemia on Long Island, as their primary example for this.
Makes sense. You need someone on the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A local lender understands the regional credit overlays. They know exactly how to handle the higher jumbo loan limits that are inherent to New York.
Right, because everything is a jumbo loan here.
Exactly. And most importantly, they know the common property pitfalls that stall out local appraisals before they happen.
So what does this all mean for the borrower long term? Let's say I go through the process. I buy my house in Westchester. I live there for 5 years.
Okay.
A lot of people view the VA loan as a one and done coupon. Like, you serve your country, you get your 1-0 down house, you tear up the ticket, and you're done. True or false?
Completely false.
False.
Completely. It is a profound misunderstanding of the benefit. The VA loan is actually a reusable benefit. It is a lifelong financial tool.
How does that work?
If you buy a house, live in it, eventually sell the home, and pay off that original VA loan, you can request an entitlement restoration.
Oh, wow. It resets entirely. You basically get the VIP pass handed back to you.
Exactly. And it goes even further than that through something called secondary or tier 2 entitlement.
Tier 2 entitlement.
Yeah. Depending on your current loan balance and the specific county loan limits, which, you know, are obviously quite high in the New York metropolitan area, a veteran can sometimes keep their first home as a rental property, not pay off the original loan, and still have enough remaining VA entitlement to buy a second primary residence with zero down in a new location.
Wait, really? So if a service member gets reassigned from, say, Fort Drum down to a base in another state, they don't necessarily have to sell their New York house.
No, they don't.
They can turn that New York property into an income-producing rental and just use their remaining entitlement to buy their next home wherever they're going.
Exactly. Assuming they qualify financially, yes.
That's incredible. It's not just a perk. It is a foundational generational wealth strategy if you actually understand the mechanics of it.
And that is exactly why moving past the surface level knowledge is just so critical for anyone interacting with this program. You have to know what's in the toolbox.
Totally. So let's recap this journey we've been on for the learner. We started outside the velvet rope, right? Realizing that getting your certificate of eligibility is just the initial ID check.
Right.
From there, you have to prove your financial stability, not just with some theoretical debt to income spreadsheet, but through the brilliant real world safety net of residual income.
Making sure you actually have gas in the tank.
Exactly. Making sure you actually have cash to live your life and feed your family. Then you have to navigate the whole property maze. You have to dodge the New York co-op trap, ensure the home meets strict safety and livability standards, and, you know, maybe even leverage a multifamily unit to build immediate wealth. And finally, realizing that this whole process isn't just a one-time gift, but a lifelong regenerating benefit.
You know, when you peel back all these layers, what you are actually looking at is a masterclass in risk assessment and targeted financial assistance.
It really is.
The VA has engineered a system that maximizes opportunity for the borrower while actively minimizing the risk of financial ruin for both the lender and the veteran. It is incredibly intentional.
So well designed.
It is. And, you know, it leaves me with a lingering question for you to mull over.
Oh, let's hear it.
Given that this VA residual income standard actively prevents borrowers from overextending themselves and has resulted in historically lower default rates across the board, why hasn't the rest of the conventional mortgage industry adopted this exact real-world metric to protect everyday homebuyers?
That is a fascinating question. Definitely something to think about. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.